January 1, 2021. It's the Watch for Pedro show. Watch the Pedro Show. Happy Friday. Happy first of the year. Good people. 2021. Don't even remember the name of that last one. But started off with John Coltrane. They Say It's Wonderful, which is a great way to start the year. And then Onsen with Sana Mitsuburo. And, you know, Brother Matt at the Love Grotto, a couple miles south here at Pleasure Point, because we're still quite in quarantine mode. But I am not totally man alone, because due to those Estonian software engineer with his righteous Skype invention, I got Dustin Wong calling from K-Town here in SoCal. Welcome aboard, yeah. Dustin.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. Happy New Year.
Yeah, right back. And I'm going to make a wild guess here, but by listening, you're a Telecaster man. Am I right?
You're exactly right. I'm
Because, you know, D. Boone was a big Telecaster man, and I just could hear. But anyway, before we get to your Telecaster moment in time, I want you to, because I want to share with the listeners your journey through music. So can you give me your earliest recollection of music?
My earliest recollection, you know, I think my first kind of intrigue was surf music, The Ventures, when I was really young, like elementary school. It was, The Ventures was really popular in Japan back in the day, and kind of still has its, it's still significant over there. And I think it's because The Ventures, or surf music in general, that when they have that twang and those minor notes, like it evokes actually traditional Japanese music. And I loved the fact that an American band was just exploring music and was able to tap into something culturally completely different, but had that connection, you know. And I remember hanging out with my second cousin in California, and he was like in college at the time, and I was a teenager, and he was telling me this moment where he was just playing around with records, and he put on a Miles Davis record and a Jimi Hendrix record at the same time. And, you know, now thinking about it, of course, it would make sense that these two things would go together, but to him, it was a magical moment of disparate things coming together randomly, but in a very organized and beautiful thing, you know.
You know, in the Quincy Troupe book, Miles talks about him wanting to record with Jimmy the Sketches of Spain thing.
Right, yeah, totally.
So that might have happened. Now, this Ventures, where'd you hear them, over the radio or records?
Television.
Television, okay.
Yeah, it was, like, you know, they would have music programs of, like, let's look back into the day, and because they had the teke-teke boom, which is when the, you know, the surf bands go from, like, the highest, you know, you're using your E string at the highest note, and then you just tick-tick-tick-tick-tick down to the lowest note.
Sure.
And that was such a boom in Japan, where all these kids were like copying that, you know. And it was very infectious, or I fell in love with it really quickly.
Now, the pad you grew up in, was there instruments?
My dad had keyboards and drum machine. He made he made music on the side. He never released anything, but I remember he made an album when I was around 4 years old, and he recorded onto cassette tape, and, you know, that's where it kind of stayed. But he had a Kawai drum machine and a microphone and a Yamaha keyboard, and I remember playing around with it a lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you ever jump on it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we actually, recorded a song together when I was like 4. He made pretty cheesy, you know, drum beats and like me babbling on.
Well, what about the thing? You're going to get a piano teacher.
Oh, yeah. How'd you know that?
I'm just a guest. I've had so many guests on that sometimes this is the worst hell experience. It almost chases them away from music.
Yes, yes. I definitely got... I had a piano teacher when I was 14 because my younger brother, who was 7 at the time, was... I would take him to the piano lessons and I would wait around until his lessons would end and then I would take him back home. But then the teacher, I guess she was interested in me or curious about me. So after his lessons, she would kind of put me, you know, with no fee or anything. And she would teach me. But I realize now that the way she taught me was she was trying to teach me how to play the pieces rather than me teaching me how to play the piano. And that's not, I don't think that fits with me, because like I would rather learn how to play the instrument rather than learn how to play a song. You know what I mean? It's like a big difference.
Yeah, I see the difference too. Can you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
I think my first album was a J-pop album called Globe. It was produced by this, you know, big-time producer back in the 90s. But at the same time, I think I bought Frank Zappa's Hot Rats together.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And what about the first gig you saw?
My first gig was actually Rancid. The Op Ivy, you know, who became Rancid later.
Sure, sure. When they're more ska, right? Great bassman, Matt Freeman.
Mm-hmm. It was super fun. Yeah.
What about at school? Were you in the fucking choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in the marching band, but I hated it.
What machine? What instrument?
Trombone, and I was terrible at it.
Oh, the bone.
Yeah.
But it's fucking, it's bass clef. And what I heard was, for marching, because the big mouthpiece, it was kind of easier, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, I feel like, you know, the Minutemen, because like, when I was doing the bands and stuff, with like, Ecstatic Sunshine and Ponytail, like, we were reading that book, This Band Could Be Your Life.
Michael Azarod.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, like, it was like your guys' words was, you know, felt really, it was very, it hit home, you know, because I think especially things like tuning, when you guys were like, we just, you know, sometimes we tune it tighter or looser, and I love that quote so much.
Yeah, we didn't relate pitch to the fucking, yeah. We thought, there's a Creedence song called Down on the Corner, and we thought if you played Down on the Corner and it sounded right, then you were in tune, but we didn't know your Down on the Corner had to be like the other guys Down on the Corner. So we thought some guys like them tight. Some guys like the strings loose.
Yeah, yeah.
Must have sounded like fucking a din. But you know, we were a part of a movement, so yeah, you just caught up in it. You know, everybody came from different situations, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you're riding in the same van.
Yeah.
I want to play some of this, what you mentioned, Ecstatic Sunshine, Pocket Knife.
Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1.
to meet you. Was he coming at you from every which way?
Oh, I reckon he was come from the bottom, the sideway too.
Swap for Pedro Show. Started that chunk of music off with Pocket Knife from Ecstatic Sunshine. Then brand new from a new band called Evil Now. Like Love Backwards, huh? Or Love One Backwards. Or One Love. Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. And No New Resolution 2020. That's got cameraman Joe from Chicago. The Go Team, brand new. Look Outside, A New Year's Coming. Pete Kane, a new solo record, really good, D.C. area, called Don. His Name Is Alive, in Detroit, his new record, Sleep Through. Bahamas Preden, not a new record, this is from like 40 years ago, but I dig it. Born on the Wrong Planet, 79. Orthotonics with Cool Hiss, and finally Seven Souls from Ponytail. So, at school, well, first, all I know about you getting on a machine was your pop's keyboards. What? But then you're talking about Surf, which ain't a lot of keyboard, right? Mm-hmm. So, the guitar, right? How that connect happen?
I mean, the love for the guitar definitely came from the Ventures, and there was definitely. There were also some bands in Japan. There was like this indie rock band called Number Girl. And when I was in high school,
I played with them with the Jay Mascus in the Fog.
Oh, really?
Great. I wouldn't shit you, Dustin. They were the opening band for a couple gigs, maybe Quattro and Nagoya.
Oh, incredible! Yeah, well, I got to meet Mr. Mukai when. In Japan a few times when I was back there. But yeah, he plays the Telecaster. So my, you know, it was because of that band that I got the Telecaster.
Oh, okay. So that's your first guitar, because you're influenced by a guy you saw. And,
yeah.
And what was the dealio? Self-taught, learn off records, get a teacher?
Guitar is self-taught. I mean, you know, from time to time, my dad's, like, friend might be like, you know how to play the power chord or, you know, the blues scale? And they would kind of, you know, at my parents', like, you know, get together or something. And, you know, and then it would just be those kind of catalysts that would help me to kind of develop my own way of playing. And, you know, the punk ethos of, like, it doesn't matter if you can play or not, you can still make music, was really encouraging for me.
Well, what about the thing like after school with guys, you know, the garage band, the basement band?
Oh, yeah. We had a band in high school, but we had no idea how music was made. And I had a weird, I don't know how, where this came from, but for some reason, I thought every recorded music after classical music was all created through improvisation. I thought everything was made on the spot, even punk music, you know. It was just my crackpot belief. And so when I was in a band, it was just complete chaos. We were just like, all right, we got to do it on the spot. And, you know, just no structure. But
so what was practice? Just going for it, right?
Like, just
what,
going for it.
What do they call
it
nowadays? Free?
Yeah. It was noise for sure.
Did this band have a name?
Yeah. It was called Dry, but you know, it was our high school band.
I think that's one kind of a beer from Asahi is called Dry.
Super Dry.
Biru, yeah, Super Dry. So, do you remember the first, did you do gigs, or was it just practice?
We played a few times on campus.
What was the first one like?
It was kind of like a guerrilla thing. We just set up our amps and drum kit in the middle of campus, and we just started playing. We did that a few times and got in trouble.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, I know space is kind of a premium over there, but there is a scene of the live house.
Yeah.
Did you guys get into that? It's kind of pay to play, right?
it's pay to play. We didn't get to play, really. Like my first gig at a venue was in Baltimore.
So you moved from Japan to Baltimore.
It was, yeah, pretty much. I was in Oakland for 2 years, but then moved to Baltimore for much longer.
Remember the first place I played there was called the Marble Bar. It was in the early 80s. And,
I don't know that place.
Yeah. Fells Point, kind of rough part, right? But, man,
Fells Point's all right now, I think.
Well, nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know how things change. And also, when you're on tour and you don't really know a town, you don't know how scary parts are, really.
For sure, yeah, yeah. I think Baltimore was a weird town where bands would come in not knowing what's going on, you know.
Yeah. Well, that could... So you have all this fake courage because you don't live there. You don't know the scene, you know, with what they call the railroad tracks, right? it's crazy stuff. But to me, it's really good in a way because then you don't get all like prejudging things. But
no,
you do have to be careful.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was really attracted to the energy there. It felt much more raw than Oakland when I visited, and I kind of wanted that taste, I guess. And
I had a guy on the show yesterday that lives there, and he's named Dor, and he's making this wild ass experimental kind of thing, and
nice.
All kind. You know, it's interesting about this stuff. It's one of the reasons why I do the show. I want to turn everybody on to, and myself find out about these things because. You know, the parallel universe, it's hard to know. So your first gig in a venue, what was the venue?
Let's see. It might be, I think it was the Talking Head Club.
Okay.
And after that, Auto Bar.
Right. Well, there was two Auto Bars, right?
Yeah. I only know the one, but I think it used to be the Talking Head Club.
Yeah.
Where it was, and then became a bigger venue.
Right. Johns Hopkins, near the doctor school. And the Static Sunshine came first, right?
Yep.
Now, how'd that get going?
Well, Matt Papich, who's the other member in Ecstatic Sunshine. I think we met in a sculpture class at the Maryland Institute, and there's a class taught by this guy Jeremy Siegler called Parapainting, parallel to painting. And the thing was that everybody in the class has to start a band.
Whoa.
And the way it happens is I pretty much transferred to the Maryland Institute knowing about this class. I heard about this class and I was like, I need to take this class and I need to meet this person. And when we were taking the sculpture class, there was a guy who was taking that parapainting class and he didn't have a band. He was supposed to have a band, but he procrastinated and came up to us knowing that we played guitar. I was like, can you make songs for me for the end of the semester? Parapalooza. And so we're like, okay. And our chemistry was really good. It was just, we wrote five songs in a matter of 2 hours and played those songs with him and then kind of kept going.
Now, up to that point, have you been writing songs?
Yeah. I was writing songs with the other guitar duo called Onsen.
Okay. Because... And we should tell the people, Onsen is like a spring, you know, a resort, a spa.
Yeah.
A spa.
Yeah.
So, because you were telling me when you first started playing, it was just, you know, improvise, go for it.
And
from there...
And then, there was a realization. It's like, oh, yes, it's constructed and it's composed.
We gotta compose some stuff.
Oh, people compose these songs.
That's how they kind of sound... similar each time you play them.
Yep.
But then there's a danger of that, right? Because then you turn into tape recorders. So maybe you guys were onto something there.
Right.
I think I think there is a human feeling about getting too cliche, too repetitious.
Yes, yes. And I definitely experienced that with the bands I was in, because especially, I think Ponytail, like, we had really good chemistry, but our output was really slow. It would take us months to write one song. And when we would go on tour, it's like we have these solid 8 songs, but nothing else to play. And, you know, we would play this set the same way because it flowed the best. And that would happen day after day for months. And I would get sick of it.
Right.
You know?
Get the cookie cutter, get the rubber stamp, get the Xerox machine. Yeah.
I mean, the songs, you know, we perform it like it feels like second nature, you know, at that point. But
sure. It's part of the human thing. Yeah. You want some kind of security, but you want adventure. You want excitement.
Yes. Yes.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, 1st of January, 2021. Weird to say that. Special guest Dustin Wong. Hold tight for hour 2. January 1, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Oswald. When Oswald says to me, he says you're living in a fool's paradise, Sam, if you think that you're free. I say, well, I know I'm free next Thursday, 'cause I ain't yet made no plans. He said, come on over to my house then, and I'll show you how to walk on your hands. So when Thursday finally rolled around, I headed over to Oswald's place. I knocked on his door for an hour till he answered with a sad, sad look on his face. He said, Sam, we've had a death in the family, a distant cousin that I never knew. But he left me $10 and a banjo string and an old brown wingtip shoe. I said, all right then, Oswald, I got an idea for us, friend. That inheritance you just came into, we could buy us some wine with that tin. He said, hey man, I'm still grieving. I said, the wine'll surely help with that. He said, all right then, I'm with you, Sam. Let me go get my coat and hat. So we set off walking down the boulevard, making our way to the liquor store. Ah, but when we arrived, we saw a little sign. It was stuck on the locked front door. Now the sign was written in Russian, which neither one of us could read. So Oswald says, let's go to the park. There's a pigeon there that I want to feed. We got to the park and we looked for the bird, but that particular one wasn't there. Oswald says, I won't be feeding these others. They can fly off and die for all I care. Then we saw a policeman approaching, all dressed up in riot gear. Ozzy said, Sam, let's do a two-man riot. I said, better yet, let's get on out of here. So we eased up off of the park bench and tried to stroll away nonchalant. We made it to the corner, then the cop fired some tear gas and we ducked into a restaurant. The waitress said, what can I get you boys? I said, I'd like a bowl of black-eyed peas. Oswald studied the menu. He said, give me just a moment, please. About an hour later, he had finally decided what it was that he wanted to eat. But just then, there come a big commotion. Something happening out on the street. It seems a manhole had exploded. There was steam shooting up like a geyser. Oswald stepped out to get a closer look, hadn't even touched his appetizer. He hollered, Sam, if I jump up on top of that, I reckon it'd carry me to outer space. I said, don't you do it, Oswald, but I could tell he would, because he had that certain look on his face. And then he jumped on top and shot right out into outer space.
Look at me, look at me, I'm a Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show start off the second hour with Dustin Wong doing Diagonally Talking Echo. And Sam Bennett, I was talking to Oswald. Sam Bennett's a Birmingham, Alabama guy who's lived in Tokyo 25 years. Kind of cool. Came out of that John Zorn, that Lower East Side scene.
Oh,
did
nice.
A tour in Japan, wow. Met a lady there, yeah, and started a family. And he's got, he records so much. And he kind of, it's not a samisen, but it's a three-string weird kind of guitar. And kind of blends, you know, he's an interesting guy, Sam Bennett. Actually a drummer man to begin with. A Quiet Pig from Italy after that. Van 2-3, Dead Leaves, Milk Teeth from Ecole du Ciel. Miles Away from Double Dutch Picnic. And finally, Takako Minakawa, Dustin Wong with Party on a Floating Cake. Now, we talked a little about Ecstatic Sunshine, but we should talk in a little about Ponytail, but you're known for Ponytail, so how'd that get together?
So that was formed through that class parapainting where the teacher looked. So what happens is he makes everybody sit in a circle. So there was probably 30 to 40 kids, and he would sit in this, he would stand in the center and look at us and be like, you, band. You band. and we were the last ones to be picked. And I was a first semester senior. And the teacher was like, all right, Dustin, you're a senior. Take care of the freshman kids.
Oh, wow.
So there was like four other freshman kids. And then we decided to practice at my place because there was a room where there was like a music room that I was using. And so we would meet up every week, twice a week, and write songs. And at the end of the semester, we performed, and it was so fun. Like everybody was dancing and jumping up and down. And we were just like, we gotta keep going. And, you know, I was like, I'm graduating, but I'll wait for you guys.
Well, you guys start recording, doing tours and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you kind of expressed some of the frustration that the band wasn't growing.
Right, right. There was a point where I think, you know, when we were, like, young, like, when we were just starting out, all our interests were overlapping, you know, like, we were all into punk music and also psychedelic music, like, space, like all the things were overlapping. And, you know, we like, the love for the Providence scene, like Lightning Bolt and all those bands. And I think around the third album, you know, it started to deviate where, you know, the drummer and the other guitarist was interested in more minimal sounds and techno, and I loved that stuff, but I wasn't really interested in making that kind of music at the time.
So you kind of leave.
I did,
and leave the idea of being a band, right? You want to be a man alone with music.
Yeah, I did it for a little while.
And interesting. I want to play here. This is part of this. I guess you got a duet going nowadays. It's more contemporary, but Ancient Aluminum Forest. Thank you.
Magical disaster. A magical disaster. The machine controls X-rays of plastic. The machine can make X-rays of plastic. See the plastic in the ground. Plastic in the ground. Plastic in the ground. X-rays measure plastic. The inventors of plastic. Magical disaster. X-rays of plastic.
Thank you. What, for Pedro Show?
Yeah, that chunk of music got started off with Ancient Aluminum Forest from Takako Mikawa and Dustin Wong. And then Smoking Forbearance from Jerome Parker Wells out of St. Louis. Biscuit Mouth, I like it because I am young. The machine that takes x-rays of plastic from the new Harnessians. I guess people wear harnesses. plus Dog Plus with Flower Children 2545. I can't remember. There was a pop song. Kind of. And then Takako Minakawa, Justin Wong with Akubi. Now, one thing I noticed about you playing alone before we get to this duet thing.
Alone?
Yeah. Well, no, you playing alone.
Yeah.
Solo, man alone. Mm-hmm. Ishii, yeah. Pedals. Would you call yourself a pedal meister?
I'm not really, well, you know, I have my favorite pedals that when I get a pedal, I really try to get into it and understand it and see what it can do. And so I'm not a guy where I buy a pedal a week or anything. You know, I don't really obsess over pedals, but when I do get pedals, I really want to study it. I want to know it, and I want it to feel like second nature when I'm using it, like I'm playing a guitar. But normally I use a lot of loop pedals, and
which is one way you can play a company yourself, right?
Yes. And yeah, even the solo guitar stuff, it got a little old after a while because I was still in that mode of playing songs, making songs and then playing it repetitively. And
right.
Even if I did have an arsenal of songs, like 50 songs that I can just whip out from my head, like it's still like it wasn't enough for me.
Sure.
And yeah, like it was really like moving here to LA. Like I started to loosen up more, and I'm back at the idea of improvisation again. Like I'm back, but with tools that I can use.
You know, thinking of effects, surf music, right? Reverb,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes tremolo, vibrato, mm-hmm. tremolo, whatever they called it in those days. I guess one's pitch and one is. Kind of bendy. Oh, no, it's actually up and down, right? It's Doppler.
Yeah, the volume going up and down, yeah.
Right, and I mean, you know, I'm a big Creedence guy, so Born on the Bayou, right? Like, and all that shit. De-boom, but what I'm trying to get at is maybe you were onto the effects thing way before the pedals even came out and shit.
I don't know. I feel like the Germans, you know, like the old krautrock dudes, was really, I think, also Star Wars, Harrison Ford on the Millennium Falcon, like him switching off like buttons and like flicking switches, his authority over technology, but he didn't know what he was doing at the same time. It was like, what, you know, but he got, you know, he has hyperdrive and he gets to travel in light speed or faster than light speed. And I think, I don't know, my generation of kids are really into modular synthesizers and effects pedals because of like science fiction.
Right. But you don't stay with the keyboard. I mean, the keyboard, every note's got one button, you know. That's so much kind of tied to a pewter kind of sensibility. Where the guitar, you're taking some old analog. It's kind of a weird marriage.
Yeah. I love these kind of disparate things coming together. You know, like the analog, digital, like, you know, electro, acoustic. There's the yin and yang, I guess.
I read somewhere, I put some copper strings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what I read. Like, you were really happy about putting some kind of copper strings on your guitar.
I don't think I was happy, actually. I tried it.
Okay.
I tried it, but I wasn't really into it. Yeah.
Okay, we're at the end of the second hour, January 1, 2021, the Schwapito Show. Special guest Dustin Wong. Hold tight for hour three. January 1, 2020, it's the third hour. No, it isn't 2020. 2021.
Yes.
Third hour, Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
To the end of the world. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off the third hour, Desert Via Hover Camel from Dustin Wong. Then we had Crane doing Effervescence. Mold Omen. These guys have been in Baltimore like 10, 12 years doing Tense. It's a duo, I think. I play a lot of their stuff. Surf of Blood, Dance Me to the End of Love. And then Surf of Blood with Rose Bowl. Yeah, Rose Bowl ain't in Pasadena. That's kind of different. Glimpse Trio, New Year's. Those guys are from Cleveland. Mike Cooper with Miniature 11. And then finally, the Garden of Earthly Flanger. There's a pedal. Good Will Smith. That's a good name. Takako Minakawa and Dustin Wong. What about this duet? What is Takako? Keyboard?
She sings, plays keyboards, but plays all kinds of stuff too.
Well, I have this. This is what you got going now, right?
Yeah. Well, right now she's in Japan actually right now, and so we're not able to make music physically. But
what about trade files over the internet?
Right. Yeah, but I really just enjoy playing with her, like at. And alive.
Well, yeah, of course, but I mean.
I know.
You're starving to death and there's only bananas. Maybe you end up eating bananas.
It's true, yeah.
No, I'm just being smart ass. I want to know how you guys, you know, start doing this. I mean,
because you were a man alone,
right? Just doing solo thing and now you want to make a duet.
She came to my show when I was doing like a solo, doing the solo guitar stuff in Tokyo, and she came in. I was actually a big fan of hers when I was I used to listen to her stuff as a teenager through college. You know, she was known in the 90s to make these kind of electronic, whimsical and kind of out there music, and I was really happy to see her at the show, and we kept in touch, and we decided to kind of I was coming back to Japan, and we decided to kind of get together and kind of make music together. And
A lady from the 70s, right? Electronic of Osaka, I think. Her name was Few, or is.
Oh, yeah.
Few song, right? She's still making music. And,
yes.
And she got together with some of those guys like Jackie on the drums and Holger on the bass.
Holy. We love Few. I think she's amazing.
I think she's back into music. She's making recordings again. I've been playing on the show.
She got
together with the lady... The Portuguese lady from Raincoats.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, for a collab. So, what was the first show you and Takako did together?
I believe our first show was in Tokyo, in Harajuku at this place called Vacant. Yeah, we played a bunch of shows in Japan.
Well, I'm concerned about the first one. Was it prepared stuff or did you guys improvise?
No, it was prepared. We're still in that mode. Okay. I was still in that mode of like composing songs, and what we did was we came up with kind of a system of pedals so that it was easier to loop things together at the same time. So
you're talking
it was
about
like
a sync.
Yeah. So it was like we used the stereo looper and used the left and right channels as two separate channels, and we used mixers and things to consolidate all the channels into one. So like, you know, all the instruments are going into the left, all the vocals are going into the right, and you know, at a certain point, we were layering so much stuff that it became too dense. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to write a novel that has every word in the world.
Yeah, it was kind of very maximal like that, for sure.
Like Jimmy Joyce's Ulysses. I want to play this other prize. You got Harinon?
Harinone.
Oh, okay, Japanese, yeah. Okay, Harinone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, from Pedro Show, Arthopoda might be a spider. Hainona, pointy sound. Watt fucked that up for you people, so but Dustin corrected me there. Then Rhythm Plague, that's got Wayne Pete, Nels Klein's organ friend. Delta in Deutschland, University Challenge, that's brother AJ in Netherlands with his solo proj, Black Smoke, extended workouts. And then Dustin Wong with finally Shrine Enforced and Cave Enforced and Shrine. That's a great title.
Thanks.
So, where can people find you on the internet?
I guess I have an Instagram and a Twitter, but I have a Bandcamp, Dustin Clarence Hidetoshi Wong Bandcamp. But I think if you search my name, it should pop up in Bandcamp.
But there's no Dustin Wong website.
No, not really.
Well, yeah. One day there will be, because that's like having your own fanzine.
Right.
Not to scold you or anything, but I mean, there's just nobody in the middle, and so I try to encourage everybody to do that.
Right.
I thought that's what was going to happen. I thought, you know, no one would go to, like, you know, big troughs to, what do you call that? They got a counterweight, Salt Lick, you know,
uh-huh.
Right, the fake look Salt Lick and the shitter and the instant ham. Yeah. But people can find you there. So people use a search engine. There's several of them out there. You don't have to be a shill for every fucking brand out there. I'm really interested in what you're doing, man. I love your guitar playing.
That means so much. Thank you so much, Mike.
And really, it's at the heart is the playing. And I only brought in that pedal stuff to see what your reaction was.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You know, because I knew in a way that wasn't the root. It wasn't like shit hoarding gear.
Mm-hmm.
Me and the door guy was talking about that yesterday. These guys, yeah, it with bass players, it's like that too. You're talking about amassing all this stuff, but you never get anything done with the stuff. It's all about acquiring the stuff to do stuff. Like somebody collecting a buttload of pocket knives and never doing any whittling, no carving. Mr. Kawabata wrote a story called Snow Country.
Oh, okay.
Yasunori Kawabata.
Acid Mothers?
No, Yasunori Kawabata. He was a buddy of Mr. Mishima's.
Like he said, he went crazy. Nightmares. Yeah.
But this guy, he writes about ballet, but he's never seen a fucking ballet. Talk about a dilettante, you know? So to bring that up is kind of crazy. But what I feel when I hear your guitars, you got a fucking relationship with that instrument. And I'm talking about, you know, I played many years with a guy who never used, I think he used a Tube Screamer on a couple double nickel on the dime solos. Because we're reacting against arena rock, right? So we had these kind of severe ideology. Because we were reacting, right? And so
can I ask you a question? Actually,
great.
I remember hearing about Deep Boom guitar tone, like it was purposefully on a higher frequency because there was a reason for it. There was some kind of meaning.
Well, Deep Boom thought the political thing about the Minutemen was the way, because again, we're from arena rock, so he wanted to bring the drums and the bass up.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered, you know, because where I, especially me with the bass, with the R&B, we found out that those guys, by playing the rhythm guitar real trebly and also very staccato, they left more room for the bass and the drums.
Mm.
No power chords, you know?
So
that's where that all came from. He thought the words was just thinking out loud. He thought the political act was bringing the drums and bass up. And, of course, me and Georgie were way into that. So yeah, the treble thing was, and he would turn the middle and the bass all the way off and the treble all the way up, and it was to make room for us. Very generous guy. Very generous guy. Beautiful.
Because those words were very influential for Ecstatic Sunshine. Our tone was very high, and that's because of the Minutemen.
Wow. Well, you know, big love for you for thinking of him. When people think of him, he's here for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dustin's so great, man. When, you know, you get back together with Takako and stuff, and you make a new music. Will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Oh, that would be amazing. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, right back. People, it's been January 1, 2021 edition of the Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.